All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be talking with Nick Smith, who is a principal program manager for Microsoft Teams in the EDU space. Nick's got his USA jersey on today, you know, as opposed to the Canadian ones we have. So thanks for coming on, Nick. We really appreciate that. Maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself and sort of what your role is for Microsoft Teams EDU.
Fantastic. And thank you for having me on, even though I pre-warned you guys that I might be wearing this jersey. So I've been with Microsoft for about 12 years now. I've been focusing on, I kind of grew up through the LCS, OCS, Link, Skype for Business space before making my way to Teams. My current role is actually working with our EDU customers and helping them to realize the opportunity of Microsoft Teams, how it can be used within their environments, how it can be used within the classroom, the enterprise side of schools, as well as taking their feedback. We understand that EDU customers have lots of different challenges and different concerns than normal enterprise customers have. And so I also get to be the voice of our EDU customers within Microsoft Teams engineering. The beauty of my role sitting in engineering is that I both get to work with customers, see what works, what doesn't, as well as be their voice to make sure that we are architecting with their concerns in mind.
Awesome. Maybe Nick, talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the education space today and how folks are utilizing Teams, and I guess specifically, you know, what they're doing, and are they using it right out of the box? Are they making customizations? And maybe give us your like top two impact use cases that you're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing lots of momentum of Teams within the EDU space. It's funny when we talk about EDU versus enterprise. We can have very much a very similar distinction within EDU of K through 12 or primary education versus higher education, because we do see it being used in different ways based upon where people are throughout their educational expertise. I'd say in K through 12 or primary education, we're seeing lots of momentum of people who are looking to start using Teams, to start introducing it to their faculty and staff, as well as many that are actually in the process of using it in the educational environment within their classrooms. In this case, we see lots of customers who have been going through the process, and many who have gone big with Teams in the classroom space using some of the technologies that we have specifically built for EDU, such as School Data Sync, which will actually go through and provision a team and manage the roster for all of your classes based upon information in your school information system. We've also built lots of EDU-specific capabilities for this scenario, in which you can have teams that are of a class type that are very specifically meant for education's usage. So it gives you additional capabilities of being able to do assignments, have people turn in assignments. There, instead of a owner or a member designation, you have a teacher or a student. We have capabilities built in where if a student is being disruptive, the teacher can go through and mute a student so they can't add things in. And so this is kind of where we talk about teams being built specifically for education. These are team types that are built specifically for those purposes. Teams for EDU also has the capability of very specific team types that use OneNote notebook in ways in which it's very much used in the classroom that can be used in that classroom team type, in which there are collaboration spaces, also personal spaces that can be shared between a student and a teacher. But we also have the ability of using that OneNote notebook tied to Teams in ways in which teachers can communicate across, you know, like all of your history teachers within a school district, for professional learning communities, as well as in K-12, there's often a place in which they want to provide feedback to staff. And so there are staff-type teams that allow you to use lots of those OneNote capabilities in the similar ways that they're used in classroom, in which you can have a individual space between a teacher and an administrator to be able to provide feedback and collaborate within that OneNote notebook.
Wow, that sounds really great. A lot of cool functionality being built in there. Last one for me. I mean, tell us about any programs that are available to educational institutions right now. Like I thought I saw that, for example, they can sign up to Teams for free and get a terabyte of storage. I'm not sure if that's still available. Are there any programs where they should get started if they haven't already looked into Teams?
Yeah, what I would say is that we try to do our best, Office 365 and Microsoft 365 all up, of reducing the friction that it takes for people to get into our ecosystem, right? And so licensing that we offer to education customers is obviously a different model than what we use for enterprise, including making sure that people have access to these different tools. So I would say, one, with that, if you're interested in it, obviously there's an account team or there are people that you can work with. They'll make sure to let you know what you have. For the most part, everything that I've talked about of Teams and its capabilities come with the free licensing that we provide to EDU. If you are looking to get started with Teams from an EDU perspective, my team has done a lot in trying to make sure that we can really make it easier for people to get connected to how Teams can be used within EDU. It's easy to go and look online and say, hey, Microsoft Teams, how do I do this? But you're likely to get the enterprise-focused documentation. And so we want to make sure that people get to see the use cases. So there are two resources that I want to make sure that I share. One is that we have a set of recurring and on-demand webinars that my team runs that specifically talk about how Teams can be used in EDU, whether it be how to get started with IT pro concerns for EDU, whether it be how it's used with staff or classroom usage or other areas, both K-12 and higher education. And you can go to those webinars at aka.ms/Teams EDU webinars. Sorry, I should have had a slide that had these links on it, but I'll just say that again, aka.ms/Teams EDU webinars. The other thing is that we also want to make sure that we foster a community of people who are deploying Teams in an EDU manner. And to this end, I actually manage two communities in Microsoft Teams and in the Microsoft tenant, in which we invite people who are deploying Teams from an EDU perspective to join. We have one community for higher education because there are certain concerns that are relevant there and different concerns and deployment practices that are used for K-12. You can join either team by going out to fill out a form at aka.ms/join Teams EDU community. And so that will actually give you a form you can go through, tell us a little bit more information about you, which community you're interested in joining, and then about weekly I go through and process all the new requests there. And I add people into that team. It's a guest experience into Teams, but that's a place where you can go and engage with my team. You can get announcements of things that are coming out, kind of awareness guidance. But also if you have questions of, hey, I have this problem, how did other people solve it? It's also a community of many, many other customers who are in the process of deploying or have deployed that can answer those questions.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Nick. We'll make sure to get those links in the podcast page so that people can refer to them for sure. So, and with that, I'm going to pass it over to Ab.
Actually, before you pass on, I want to go back to your first question. I talked a little bit of how Teams is used in K-12. A couple other things that I want to highlight is that as we're working with customers who are deploying in K-12, there's the classroom usage scenarios. There are the teacher usage scenarios. But there's also a business that is run, right? In terms of, hey, how are we making sure that people get to school? How are we dealing with weather events or incident management? And we're also seeing lots of trending of Teams usage in those scenarios. So for example, you have a school district, there are bus drivers, those are shift workers who come on or off, or, you know, I need this bus to be here at this certain time to take people to field trip. And so we do see some customers who are using the shifts capabilities to communicate with those bus drivers, where you need to go, who's taking this route at this time. You should expect or not expect someone to be on the bus. And so we're seeing lots of usage in those scenarios. And then also from an organizational management side, we're seeing it as ways in which people are communicating with all middle school principals or all high school principals. Or people who are feeder schools into different districts? How are those middle school principals talking with the high school principal of things that are coming along? So we're really facilitating those conversations. Another area that has also very much resonated has been an incident management team that, you know, if there's a weather event, how are we communicating with people to know that there's going to be a school day or there's a snow day or a delay? Or if there's a security event that happens at a school, having a place where they can have everyone there, they can bring people into the conversation, they already have all of their policies and procedures there, is actually something that we see lots of people looking into because they want to simplify their emergency management processes and be able to bring people in, have people be able to see the historical context before they're brought in, but also have a way of tracking who knew what when for their post-incident analysis. And so we're seeing lots of people looking at that from a organizational side. In higher education, we're also seeing lots of students who are wanting to go and deploy teams for how they can advertise their student clubs and being connected to those users. So you set up a team for a student club, you can have planning events, you can have awareness events, you can think about intramural sports, but a place where people can go and meet. Traditionally, other apps like GroupMe or WhatsApp or other things have been used, but those come with limitations. They also require people to sign up and share their phone number. And we really see students like to have, hey, people graduate, it will go ahead and clean itself up. Or people don't have to share their phone number for communication. Another big scenario, sorry, I'm very passionate about these things, as you can tell, is student governments, that many times you have student governments in which the president or vice president will have documents. And as they move along, either those documents go with them. As their account expires, those documents get deleted. Or they share those documents with someone else and the link to those documents changes, right? And so the historical context of what a student government did one year going to the next year often gets lost. And by moving them into teams in which you have this entity that stays, but membership can change, what happens is that all of a sudden those documents remain, the conversations, the decisions that were made remain, and it allows that continuity of the student government that is very cyclical in nature. So that's more than two, but no, some very great. Cool use case scenarios that we're seeing.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. So, I mean, I guess, you know, as you were sort of talking through those different scenarios, one sort of questions came up for me was, you know, you have sort of like the business and then you have like the teams for the, you know, the EDU and the teachers and that communication. Is there any way or are there ways to sort of delineate or provide barriers in between like students communicating with like certain staff and areas and stuff like that within the sort of the team EDU, and or do they just use like team EDU for like the learning side of things and all the use cases that you have, and then have a sort of a separate teams tenant to do other functions?
So we do have, for other reasons, many of which are historical, we have some education customers who have a tenant for faculty and staff and a tenant for students. And often what we see is that's a barrier to communication. We also see many places in which there are everyone within the same tenant. But there are concerns of, hey, we want to make sure that students at school A aren't able to see the contact information about students at school B, right? There are different requirements from different legislative bodies around the world. One of the things that we had shipped for EDU is that this had been met with other ways within Office 365, most commonly using Exchange address book policies, which would allow you to have a different visibility of the address book for different users. In Teams, we have an ability called Scope Search that will actually go through and honor those address book policies. So if you enable Scope Search for Teams, what it means is that when a student were to go and search for new users, they would only be able to see the people that they could see in the Exchange address book, plus the people who are in common teams with them. So that prevents them from being able to see students at other schools or being able to see the superintendent. And that's really how we kind of help to facilitate that division of what people can see across different schools.
Awesome, thanks. Michael?
Yeah, I have some questions kind of around managing students. Mm-hmm. Now that, you know, at Ignite, Microsoft announced that multi-factor authentication is available for all the Azure AD accounts. Are you seeing an adoption of multi-factor authentication or MFA being rolled out to students, or is it still kind of on the faculty side that uses that functionality?
I wouldn't say I have enough experience at that area to fully answer. The experience that I have is that I have not seen that being rolled out to students, primarily faculty and staff. But again, I haven't seen enough of that. Okay.
Perfect. There's a new feature in the Compliance Center around supervision. Have you seen any of the education institutions use supervision as a way of like combating bullying or something, like taking messages and having someone kind of monitor that? Or is that maybe they're tackling bullying in a different way?
Yeah, that's certainly something that we've been looking at, of how can we use that. Supervision is something that will alert you if there are specific keywords that are triggered. Yeah. It's definitely something that is interesting. It is also something that right now requires additional licensing. And so we are looking for different areas, either first party or third party, in which we can proactively detect or identify not only bullying, but there could be self-harm, racist, sexist, other types of language that we want to make sure that we avoid. And I know that there's a number of partners who are currently working on that. And so we're looking to bring that in. I would say that what we see is in K-12, for the most part, what we see is that they just disable chat for students. Okay. And that's because they don't want to have chatting with other students in an unsupervised manner, right? Now, when we bring in some of these capabilities, will that allow them to open it up? That's a decision that can be made at different areas. But for the most part, they've disabled chat. So many of these conversations that are happening within a moderated team in which we have a teacher in it. And that's most of the scenario that we see in K-12.
Well, that's interesting. And then just my last question, have you seen any clever ways that institutions have used Teams around office hours for students? So scheduling an appointment or drop in virtually?
Yeah, I see that quite often in higher education, especially MBA programs, in which you have people who are all universities that I've worked with in some sense are looking at how do they offer distance or online learning, right? And so how a teacher can go through and set up, this is the time that I'm going to be available. They can schedule a Teams meeting. People can drop in, drop out. It can be in a channel. It could be private manner. But that's what allows them to make this connectivity. Actually, one of the things that we've seen enables this most is, ironically, the ability for someone who is a professor that may actually be working from home that day, having the ability to blur their background or put in a different background that makes it more likely for them to turn on the camera and allow them to have this scenario. But certainly, we do see lots of scenarios where people use Teams meetings for that, hey, I'm available at this time, but it doesn't mean that you have to be available and at this location. So,
thank you.
Hey, Nick, you know, listening to those use cases, they're really interesting. I was wondering, do you see many scenarios where students get benefit from collaborating in a specific team for a specific classroom? You mentioned the K-12, there's some concerns around, you know, moderating the chat, but I was interested, do you see that scenario very often where students really get a benefit of collaborating?
We do. We have a number of kind of videos out there that help kind of to show this. Those videos aren't the only places that we've seen it. A couple of ones that I'd want to highlight that we can certainly share to make sure that we have links afterwards. Have you guys seen Dr. Kellerman's presentation from Microsoft Inspire?
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Where he had 500 students. He had them all go ask questions in there. Students started answering other students' questions. People felt more engaged. It's also a great opportunity of where it shows the power of the platform. So we do see that quite often, that, you know, it's no longer I have to be available or the TA has to be available to answer this question, or I have 20 different students email me the same question. It allows people to go through and kind of self-help. So we do see lots of that. In fact, in higher education, many times we get the question of, how do you position teams against my existing LMS, right? I've already invested millions of dollars in training and software for that. Part of our talk there is that, yes, you know, we're not coming in to threaten your LMS in those areas. What we want to do is, this is another avenue that promotes that conversation and that collaboration. And it makes it a lot easier for people to have that real-time conversation about, hey, I didn't quite get this, or how do you do this, or I have a homework problem, take a picture of it. Hey, can someone help me on this? And so we do see that. And we also see from a faculty perspective, you know, whenever you're teaching something, you're at some point almost daily, you're going to see some sort of news article or something that inspires you, whether it be a YouTube video or something else. You can just go and take and share that into teams and then have a conversation around that, where that isn't necessarily something that always happens within the context of an LMS. And so those are the scenarios that we really, really see it happening. Another scenario that I would give you is that we're working with some medical colleges where one of their premises, I'm sure you guys have seen the TV show House at some point, right? Hey, here's this mystery case. Let's go through the diagnosis. They give them this case that they have to go through and solve using these different medical techniques that they'll learn throughout the semester. But it's a place in which people can go through and have that conversation on a team basis of, well, why don't we try this? Or have we thought about this? Or would this apply? And so those are other scenarios that we see people having those conversations within teams.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, and the more I think about what my kids go through in the K-12 scenarios, If the student-to-student collaborations actually persisted, which it by teams can be by default, that almost could become a learning system in the future, right? Because all that knowledge builds up, right? That's really cool. But you know, looking in the future, I think it's really exciting what Teams is doing in the EDU space. Can you talk a bit about what maybe you're looking forward to in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I will. I would say most coming soon is that certainly in the EDU space, we know that people want to assign different policies and capabilities to students versus faculty and staff. And today, we've increased the amount of scope that you can change on this in terms of what you can configure through policies. But still, assigning policies to a large amount of users can be difficult and require knowledge of PowerShell to do. One of the things that I was able to announce at Ignite is that we are bringing some additional capabilities that allow you to assign bulk policies in bulk to sets of users. So one of the things that I'm most excited about specifically for EDU, but also applies to enterprise, is that we'll have the ability to assign a policy based upon security group membership, which means that, you know, you can go through, you can define this group gets this priority over this other one, but we want these policies assigned. So all students in this group get this policy, which means that when a new student is added or a new faculty member is added, you're not having to go through and, okay, not only did I put them in these right groups, but I have to go and assign them these policies. Well, I'll automatically be able to take care of that in the background through this process. And so I really think that that's going to help a lot of our customers.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the policy challenges, and I was pretty excited to see the policy packages too. I was playing with those in one of my tenants, where you can actually go in, select a policy for like a teacher, and set the policy settings right there, and apply those policy packages to a type, a role of person, like a teacher or a student.
Yeah, we've been excited about that. EDU is one of the first ones to get policy packages. Essentially, policy packages allow you to define a set of 5 policies that you want to assign to everyone. So we had pre-created primary school students, secondary school student, higher education student, teacher, and staff. But it will allow you to define the things that you want for messaging, meetings, live events, app policies, the main things that you do. And essentially what it allows you to do is assign that policy that will assign that policy package, which will assign all 5 of those in one operation rather than 5 separate operations. Yeah. So I am looking forward to that being better integrated with some of the other bulk assignment capabilities that we have. But we do have that available now for people to assign to groups of users.
Very good. I got to say, before I wrap up, as a hockey fan, that awesome jersey reminds me of the 1980 Miracle on Ice run that the U.S. Olympic team went on. That was fantastic.
I had my kids watching that just a couple of weeks ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great story.
Awesome.
And I live in Denver, so I get to watch some pretty fantastic hockey now. It's been a few years, but it's good hockey right now.
So. Yeah. Yeah, Dino's in Toronto. Like Curtis and I are in Ottawa, and Michael's in Calgary. So the difference in hockey markets, I guess, there.
I'm surprised Michael didn't throw something at me then. So.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks, Nick. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all that knowledge from the EDU space, from the different use cases, and you know how different people are using it. And for our listeners, if you're looking to get some more information, be sure to check out the blog post, which will contain all the URLs that Nick has mentioned and some of them that we'll grab from him that are offline. All right, and thanks everybody for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on the next episode.
All right, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Nick. Nick.